was descending as the sun dipped behind the trees. Without food, running away couldn't be his plan. The bastard had some local goal in mind, close enough so that food wouldn't be a problem. A stuttering sound erupted in the trees, and the headlight of the bike shattered, plunging the road into darkness. Dropping to his belly, Ryan grabbed a stone and, throwing it into the bushes, screamed in pain. It landed with a clatter near the bike. The tree branches rustled, and a figure in black lowered himself to the ground, cradling a long blaster of some kind. The weapon fired a long burst at the motorcycle, a flower of fire ringing the vented muzzle of the sleek assault rifle. The bullets noisily punched through the machine, and the engine woofed into flames. Since the wind was coming from the north, Ryan cupped his hands and gave a low moan, hoping the sound would travel. The sniper seemed to buy the trick, and as he started to walk closer, he dropped the spent clip and reached for a fresh magazine. With his enemy unarmed, Ryan aimed the silenced barrel of the Sig Sauer at the man and fired 6 times. Sparks flew from the rounds as they struck the Kalashnikov, but the other bullets garnished meaty thumps, and the would-be killer crumpled to the dirt road. His heart pounding, Ryan quietly stood and walked forward to see whom he had just chilled. The dancing light of the burning bike cast bizarre shadows across the surrounding forest, and Ryan had to drop to his knees to get a close look at the dead man. The face was clean-shaved, the hair long. Mentally crossing his fingers, Ryan flicked his butane lighter and saw it was just another blue shirt and not Overton. The sec man was heavily armed, but so was Ryan, so he left the corpse with its blasters and ammo. Only a fool took more than he could carry. Being slow was as deadly as being unarmed in the Deathlands. Scrambling down the gravel incline of the roadway into the forest, Ryan moved stealthily through the bush, circling into the greenery until the gasoline fire was a flickering spot of light. Now anybody else waiting in ambush would be silhouetted by the flames and a perfect target. Stepping from mossy rock to bare stones, Ryan avoided the dry autumn leaves and headed deeper into the trees, searching for the reserve man in the ambush. Overton wouldn't be stupid enough to send only one man to try to chill him. Caution was called for here. The swift always died first. The thick canopy of branches overhead blocked any possible view of the stars. Then a cough made Ryan go motionless. There was a brief flare of spitting light, and a man's face was illuminated as he lit a cig. He shook the flame out, briefly showing the Remington shotgun cradled in the crook of his arm. Drawing his panga with his free hand, Ryan circled around the guard. Contentedly, the man puffed away before finally dropping the butt and grinding it under his heel. As he stood straight, a cold sliver of metal rested on his throat and gouged his flesh.
Not a word.
Ryan eased the shotgun out of the man's grip and tossed it aside.
Any more guards around?
No.
Good. Then you get to live for a while.
Ryan walked in front of the man and pressed the barrel of the Sig Sauer against his temple.
Where's Overton?
The sec man stood in the darkness, breathing heavily, estimating his chances for a break. So reluctantly, Ryan rapped him across the face with a blaster. Gasping in pain, the man dropped to his knees, blood flowing between his fingers.
You bastard!
Overton!
Fuck you, traitor!
The blue shirt glared hatefully upward. The word caught Ryan by surprise.
Traitor.
The man stood painfully.
We were going to repair America, make her great again by chilling the muties and cleansing the rad pits. But you stopped him, a man whose boots you aren't worthy to lick.
Clean the nuke blast craters? You're crazy. Overton is just a man like you and me, nobody special. Nobody can repair the world, make it like it was again.
Screw the world! I said America. Let the rest of the half-breeds and commies die in the rad pits and acid storms. What do we care?
Ryan nudged the sec man with the blaster.
Right. Overton knows some way to stop the acid rains. And exactly how is this miracle going to happen?
The blue shirt seemed startled by the question, his face taking on a cunning demeanor.
You don't know. No. I can see that you have no real idea of what was happening at Front Royal.
So tell me.
Of course.
In sudden realization, Ryan knew the man was going to shout a warning, and no mere blow would stop him. With no other choice, Ryan squeezed the trigger, and the Sig Sauer coughed softly in the night. The corpse folded to the ground, hardly disturbing the dry leaves. Ryan started forward, the silenced muzzle of the deadly 9mm blaster leading the way in the Stygian greenery. If the man was going to shout for help, that meant others were close enough to hear him. Moving in a spiral search pattern, Ryan tried to concentrate on the task, but he kept hearing the man's last words. The blue shirt had truly believed that Overton knew some way to repair all of the damage caused by Skydark. Complete crap. Yet the absolute conviction of the man bothered the Deathlands warrior. You have no real idea of what was happening at Front Royal. He shook it off. It was just bullshit from a man trying to talk his way out of death. Ryan had seen it before, and done it himself on occasion. Condemned men being walked to the gallows claimed to be the President of the United States, or able to cure the red shakes and all sorts of crazy things. Kept making wild claims until they dropped the floor out from underneath them. That was all. Just crazy talk, nothing more. Starting to part a bush, Ryan felt something odd on his hand, and drew it back to see. There was a line of blood across his palm. Using the blade of the panga to separate the leaves, Ryan found coils of concertina wire strung through the greenery, attached to each tree in a long, curving line. It was an imposing barrier to animals and muties. Listening with his whole body, Ryan seemed to hear steps coming his way. Perhaps it was a perimeter guard walking patrol. Good. Crouching low, he readied the panga. The arc of the knife was perfect for slitting throats. Then Ryan reconsidered and drew the silenced Sig Sauer instead. The man knew he was tired when such simple decisions had to be debated. Perhaps he should leave and come back in the morning with fresh troops. But Overton might be doing the same, and instead of them hunting down the escaped Baron, it could be full warfare between their sectmen. More important, if the bastard had an LAV-25 hidden in the ville and carried AK-47 assault rifles, what other military hardware might he have access to come dawn? No, better to strike now, while Overton was wounded and on the run. As the darkness coalesced into a man-shaped figure, Ryan waited until he saw the Kalashnikov and blue shirt, then chilled the sentry on the spot. Moving along the wire, Ryan found six more perimeter guards, and each followed the first into death. Past a stand of trees, Ryan found a crude roadway with tripods made of sharpened tree trunks. Oil lanterns hanging from poles washed the path with deadly illumination. Clearly, that wasn't the way inside if Ryan wanted to keep breathing. Knowing that the sentries would be missed soon, Ryan retreated 100 feet, then cut through the lowest section of the concertina wire with the serrated spine of Christie's knife. Already the weapon had proved its worth. Sliding through the small opening, he eased past the trees. Soft light was shining ahead, and Ryan went to ground, crawling closer until he reached the edge of the bushes encircling a huge clearing. A low hill protruded from the ground, the curved crest of the natural limestone hill lush with plants. He spotted a satellite dish, and the sight chilled his blood. There were no more working satellites that he knew about, and the few the companions had ever encountered had always been trouble in spades, though one had once saved their lives. Sighting through the scope of the Stire, Ryan relaxed a notch when he saw a loose cable dangling from the dish. It wasn't working, yet. The mouth of a small cave fronted the hill, the opening squared off with timbers and some fresh brickwork. Inside were stacks of crates in neat rows, as if organized into categories. A mint-condition LAV-25 was parked outside, its angular prow pointing outward so the men in the hill could climb safely into the rear doors of the WAG. That was when Ryan spotted another of the deadly war wags off to the side of the clearing. Both were fully armed assault platforms, Piranha class, with electric chain gun, cannons, and mini-rockets. They were two horribly lethal juggernauts from another time, their armored bodies clean and rust-free, the tires shiny black. In their present positions, the machines would give optimum crossfire on any enemy coming through the break in the trees. Directly across the clearing, squaring off the cave, the LAV, and the dirt road, was a granite outcropping, or perhaps a boulder, set in a small indentation in the forest. It was a perfect spot to spy on the campsite. Avoiding the area completely, Ryan crawled through the tangles of thorny bushes until reaching the second APC. He shimmied underneath the chassis, watching for anti-personnel mines or sensors. But there was only the usual smell of dirty grease